my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris Feltz, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, this is your pick, my friend, and it has been on my radar as a pick for myself because I remember this really, really well. I've got some good little stories about this, but we're going back to 1987, and it's a film starring Peter Weller, iconic VHS cover, and it is RoboCop. So, Dave, when do you remember first watching this one?
Well, Chris, I know you won't like this because it is sci-fi. So I remember watching this one. It must have been 88, and I was actually on a cruise, and so so I mean there's a bit of a backstory, but I'm not going to go into that on here, but I'll tell you after. But
I kind of had
my own room, right? So, young lad, I had my own room.
On a cruise, yeah?
On a cruise. And there were these channels, Chris, that had their own, the more mature channels.
Was he RoboCock, not RoboCock?
No. So, sadly, none of those were available. But there were movies that I was not allowed to see at that age. So, I remember watching this one. Basically, sat next to the TV with my finger on the push the channel button up one. So that if someone walked in, that I'd just press it and I'd be like, oh, I'm just flicking through. I'm just flicking through the channels innocently. But, so I watched the whole fucking movie. Like that, basically, with my finger on the fucking TV. It's ridiculous sort of thing. But I tell you what, Chris, I can't remember just being quite shocked because I hadn't really seen anything as graphic as, you know, that. Certainly the opening scene where the cop gets not quite killed, but certainly mutilated. And, I remember being quite shocked about that, Chris, but years after that, you know, I'd watched it over and over again, and I really used to enjoy it, and enjoyed the second one as well, and then there was the whole thing with the third one, wasn't there, where it wasn't released for ages, so I've not actually seen that one, so I need to rectify that at some point, even though I heard it's not very good, but I mean, how about yourself, Chris?
Well, Dave, I wasn't on a cruise, and I wasn't watching certain channels, my friend. So, I mean, would you have rather got caught with these adult channels than watching RoboCop Day? That is a question on my lips. And we'll discuss that off podcast, being the child that I am. But no, I remember I've spoken to you a few times about a friend of mine when I was a kid. I always say his full name, John Donlan. He was the guy who had the older brothers who were 17, 18, always rented all these movies. And he was about 10, 11, what was it, 87 or something, 9. So we probably started watching in 88, so I would have been 9, 10 years old. And I remember him bringing me round, and he was like, I've got this film, RoboCop, which we knew about, but he's like, it's an 18, oh, it's well gruesome and all this. And I was like, it's not fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, is it? You know, because I was absolutely, you know me, shit house. And I will call myself out there, but I think you're right. My hypocrisy with I don't like sci-fi movies, and this is a sci-fi movie, is I've told you, it's the in-space alien shit that I don't like, when they're all confined in some claustrophobic fucking shit with aliens fucking jumping out. I can't stand that nonsense. But this, watched it, loved it. I must have watched it at his house a dozen times. He got it on video, about 88, 89, his brothers did, and it was just on a loop, like with the Nightmare on Elm Street films. It was just something I could continually watch. And I will go on records to say, Dave, I think this in the 80s has got to be, and even in the 90s going into Blockbuster and everything, it's got to be one of the most iconic VHS covers, RoboCop, without a doubt. It was a, and all the stuff like, you know, 15 seconds to comply and all that, and there was things within the movie, some of the dialogue that was like pop culture stuff as I was growing up. A lot of people with the RoboCop, and I'm with you. I've seen the second one. I've actually seen the third one, but I've only seen it once, and I'm pretty sure it was pretty terrible. I think there's a scene at the start, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It's proper. It was, I'll tell you what it reminded me of, the production, Dave. It reminded me of Generation X, if I'm comparing. You know, that sort of really low budget. Yeah, you know, it's still in Detroit. I'm sure it's still Detroit, but I have seen it, but I couldn't tell you beat for beat what happens, but it wasn't good. And I've not seen that for 20 years, and I've got, I don't think I've seen RoboCop for over 20 years, Dave, at least, and I've seen it loads. So I've said to you, look, we've talked about like what movies you're going to do coming up, and you know, obviously I know we've just done Hooper and that, you know, my Burt Reynolds obsession, but this has been one I wanted to pick as well. So I was really excited to watch this again, because it was, at the time, it was ahead. I thought it was a real trailblazer for special effects, the story, the RoboCop thing, the animatronics thing. So it was interesting going back to watch this, definitely.
Yeah, and I was a bit concerned, to be honest, because I've not watched it for a few years now. And I thought, oh, crikey, is it going to stand up? I'm not really sure. But, you know, I was pretty sure I remembered it quite well from, you know, just watching it a lot as a kid. But, yeah, I'll keep my powder dry, and we'll see what we think of it when we get into it. So, Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
We've got a volunteer. The body is on the way.
Sure. All Detroit has a cancer. Cancer is crime.
In a robe.
As you know, we've entered into a contract with the city to run local law enforcement.
We were able to save the left arm.
What? I thought we agreed on total body prosthesis. Now lose the arm, okay?
We get the best of both worlds. Onboard computer-assisted memory and a lifetime of on-the-street law enforcement programming.
Hey, Lewis, it's Supercop.
This guy is really good.
He's not a guy, he's a machine.
What are they gonna do, replace us?
Murphy, it's you.
Go get him, boy.
Thank you. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. Anything you say may be used against you.
You better back up, pal!
Your move, creep.
The future of law enforcement. RoboCop.
Thank you for your cooperation.
In a near-future dystopia, Detroit is on the brink of a social and financial collapse. Overwhelmed by crime and dwindling resources, the city grants the megacorporation Omni Consumer Products, or OCP, control over the Detroit police force. OCP Senior President Dick Jones demonstrates ED-209, a law enforcement droid designed to supplant the police. ED-209 malfunctions and brutally kills an executive, allowing ambitious junior executive Bob Morton to introduce the chairman to his own project, RoboCop. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Iconic, Dave. I've got to say, iconic. I mean, it's a proper dingy, horrible Detroit, the way they depict it. Now, I always had a problem with the baddie in this, because this came out around about the same time as Beverly Hills Cop 2. And Ronnie Cox, who's Dick Jones in this, is always going to be Sergeant Andrew Bogomil for me, Dave, out of Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. And 3, he's in 3. So I'd always regard him as the good guy. And I was like, I don't like him, he's a baddie. I'm not having it. You know, because he was like, not a hero, but one of my most favourite VHS movie series, and he was like Eddie Murphy's best pal in the second one and all that. So, yeah, really, really interesting. And that's just acting, obviously. But no, the start of it is great. I think makes me laugh is like Murphy, the way he like comes into the station. But we do get the news readers, don't we, reading these sort of they're reading the news and the infomercials, and they're saying about how the cops are being killed after being privatized with OCP and all this. So you're getting this the drip feeding this, and apparently that Verhoeven's wanted this sort of breaks with the adverts, you know, and all that. I'll buy that for a dollar and all this. It was all to take you away and think about the story and then bring you back in. So I quite liked it. And Dave, look, that's probably one of the most iconic fucking things in the film as well. I'll buy that for a dollar, you know, like that. that character, which I've read as well, was supposed to be based on a very crude version of Benny Hill. Well, Benny Hill used to run around with loads. Yeah, Benny used to run around with loads of women, didn't he?
To be fair, I'm not sure it's a crude version of him, if you remember Benny Hill.
Yeah, I don't. There was a bald guy, and they're slapping him on the head, but there you go. But no, he starts really well. It lays the breadcrumbs and everything. And again, Detroit, Dave, that's where Beverly Hills Cop 1 was based at the start. So, you know, Axel Foley's from Detroit. So I liked it, everything. The one thing watching it now is realising how shit them cop cars were, because my friend actually had RoboCop in the car, you know, in the actual police department's car, and it looked mint, and RoboCop was like stuck out of the fucking sunroof, Dave, when he's, I don't know why, but that was the, you could put him in and out the sunroof, and it's the fucking rubbish. They're like proper shitty cars, because it's this horrible place. But no, I think it starts really well, and I buy into it completely. I buy into the baddies and everything, because they're just horrible bastards.
Yeah, I agree. I think it sets the world quite nicely. It's that kind of near future, isn't it? And it is a horrible world to be in. But I think what I didn't pick up on, Chris, when I watched this as a kid, is actually with all the adverts and stuff in particular, it's poking fun at that dystopia. You know, it's just taking the piss out of the future, or this world in the future. So the kind of satire was lost on me as a kid. But, I mean, you start off with a real iconic scene, don't you, in the boardroom, where they've got this, you know, this thing, this robot, ED-209, which is going to revolutionise policing in Detroit. And then when they set up the little demonstration there, I remember, and it's still, even watching it now, I still kind of get anxious for the guy who just volunteered. And he like puts the gun down and it's like, you've 15 seconds to comply, or however many seconds it was, and he keeps counting down. It's like, oh fuck. And then he's running off, and of course everyone just throws him under the bus. It's like, fuck off, get away. But then when he gets shot, you know, it just doesn't stop, does it? It's not a policing in terms of showing restraint, this robot. You know, it absolutely kills him, you know, and makes sure he's dead with, you know, 100 bullets kind of thing. So I it was funny watching it now, and I know exactly what's going to happen. And like you say, the whole 15 seconds to comply, you have now 10 seconds to comply. It's part of pop culture, isn't it? You say that to anyone around our generation, we know exactly what you mean. And I tell you what, Chris, I thought this movie was bigger than it was, because I think in our generation, you know, if you were kind of Generation X and you were, you know, in and around our age, it was massive. There wasn't a kid or a boy, let's say, on the playground who hadn't watched this. But it only made $53 million at the box office, which, compared to some of the other movies that we've watched, it's fucking shit, isn't it? Yeah. It's not. That is not good at all. I mean, alright, it's turned a profit, and so that's why you get the sequel. It cost just under $14 million to make. But I was really shocked by that. I just assumed that it would be at least north of $100 million. And so again, I guess it's not a failure. I guess it's just smaller than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the, because I said to you before we come on recording about the VHS, because I think loads of people had the VHS, but when it came out, Dave, right, this is God's honest truth, they released the version at $90, and it made $24 million in sales. So that's where they said, I had a feeling the VHS ones, because it was more word of mouth, because it was an 18, a lot of kids are. Dave, when I was 10 years old, I got this by accident because my friend had it. Like I said before, I'd probably watched Lethal Weapon at this point, or I was about to watch Lethal Weapon, and Beverly Hills Cop. My dad used to watch him and then go, yeah, you can watch them or whatever. So he would never have got RoboCop because he wasn't into this sort of stuff. But like Beverly Hills Cop, Lethal Weapon, we watched things like that. And it's, but honestly, it's unbelievable. And he's saying that this film, at least one in 100 households had RoboCop as well as Dirty Dancing, they're saying. They were the ones. So it's a great list of films, Predator, Platoon. But, yeah, unbelievable, that. That's so ridiculous. Because I remember as a kid, it was just, like, so iconic. Like, you've got to watch RoboCop. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street, they went around the playground, like, you know, varying films. But you're right, what a disappointment. I think what you touched on, the ED-209, I think you summed that up perfectly because I was still watching it going, why the fuck didn't you just run under the table or something or do something? But what makes me laugh, right, I was laughing this time, is when he gets killed, and you're right, it must be about 50 to 100 bullets probably gets into him, what, you know, no lie. And then that Ronnie Cox, that fucking Dick Jones goes, get an EMT in here. I'm like, look, mate, I don't care what medical science we've got in this fucking dystopian future, there's no fucking EMT going to save this fucker. He got shot everywhere. It was proper gruesome. And I think you're right. For a film of 35 years old, still to get you that clammy hand, sort of like, oh no, he's... And as soon as he come in the room, I was like, oh my God, it's that fucking... I'd forgotten about that bit, Dave, because I kept thinking RoboCop come first, but he doesn't. RoboCop is a consequence of this. But yeah, you're right. Iconic. And Ronnie, you know, Dick Jones is a bastard. You've got the other guy, Bob Morton, who's played by Miguel Ferrer. I think he died recently as well. He's the sniveling one because we've got the RoboCop thing to the old bloke and all that. And then there's like this power struggle. So they were all nasty, corporate, just horrible. And even the old man, the guy's just been killed in front of him. He's head in his hands and you're thinking, oh yeah, he's devastated. I'm going to have to contact the family. There's a lawsuit. He goes, you just cost me $50 million, Dick. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow. You know, like nothing, no consideration for this poor kid or his family. So yeah, it just horrible weasel people. And I think the acting in that's really good as well.
I completely agree. I mean, they do play those corporate sleazebags really well, don't they? And I think what I could never wrap my head around, and I don't know if it's the hairline, Chris, but old Bob Morton there, the dialogue leads me to believe he's this young up-and-comer.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you're watching it as a teenager, you're like, he's not a young fucking up-and-comer, is he? I mean, I appreciate some of the older guys are north of 60 by the looks of it. But, you know, Bob Morton, played by Miguel Ferrer, I was just like, no, he's pretty old as well, surely. But, Chris, I have to say, one of the possibly most underrated baddies, I think, is this fucking Clarence Boudicca.
Yes.
Because he is an absolute bastard all the way throughout. And I think his performance is really consistent all the way through. He is just an absolute shit. And again, when I think back to watching it before, I fucking hated him. But, I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. He's a really good baddie. I think watching it this time, I think I admired just his performance and just how much of a bastard he was.
Well, I agree completely. And reading again, Dave, you know, it's brilliant reading it. He ad-libbed most of his scenes, you know. And they'd let him, like, you know, when he spits on the police desk after RoboCop's got him, the bubble gum in the police day, all stuff like that. There's a lot of dialogue that he just said, look, just do your thing and go with it. But I'm with you. He's just horrible. And he's not scared of RoboCop at all. He's not scared of him, Dave. No. Like the crew, you know, so obviously when Murphy gets introduced to like the cops, one of the cops is there like saying, we need to go on strike. And the typical sergeant is there like, nobody goes on strike. We're the police. But they're all, that's happening because he's just cleared another policeman's locker out. Is they're getting killed, wanting destruction. It's all like an insider job. They finally got this Boudicca. He's like the ringleader. They put it on the screen, don't they? Like he's wanted, in connection and all this stuff and these killings of the police and all that. And then we get to Murphy meets, what's she called, the bloody woman, Lewis, and they get together, don't they? And it's like, this is the first day together. And poor Murphy's out on his fucking ass, basically. But
it's a fucking shit first day, isn't it? even had his meeting with HR yet.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even got his welcome pack or anything. He's just fucking gone straight in. But they're having that coffee, and it's like, all units, and they go after him. And they're on this road with no cars at all. And they're chasing him. But you can tell they've obviously hired the road. Dave, we're talking stormtrooper levels. I say it every episode, a fucking firing. The line of sight of these people. I mean, Murphy's cop car gets two full double barrel shotgun bullets in his fucking window where he sat, and not one of the pellets hits him. And then Murphy sees, all right, you ready? And he gets out of the thing, and the shooting, I've got to say, the shooting's fucking lame on that, Dave. It's really poor. But I remember as a kid, like, thinking, if only Murphy and Lewis had just fucking carried on having a coffee, we wouldn't be in this situation. But I will say, when it goes to the warehouse and they track him down and everything, I was like, the start, that sort of clamminess of like, oh, fucking hell. But Lewis is this absolute badass, Lewis, played by Nancy Allen. And she, I believe, like, she looked at, like, her dad was a copper, so she's got tips off him and she learned a lot of things, but she's this badass. No one fucks with her. She's got the bubble gun. That guy's having a fucking pee. What do you distract a cop with, Dave? His fucking cock. Unbelievable.
I hated this bit as a kid, and I hated it on this rewatch, to be honest. It's like, what? Are we supposed to believe she's never seen a dick before?
Yeah.
Or is it a racial thing? Because he's black. Like, she wants a little peek at his cock. And it's like, Detroit is this massively fucking horrible, dingy place. Chris, it's basically Gotham, isn't it? You know, it's that horrible. And, like, police are getting fucking slaughtered on the streets. And you're in this very, very dangerous situation. Oh, look, cock.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. And she gets fucking taken out with that. I just hate it. It's so fucking lazy and shit. I must admit, at this point, I'm really enjoying the movie. And I think the only thing that doesn't quite stand up are the effects with the ED-209. You know, because it's that stop-motion animation. So it just looks very dated, doesn't it? But, that just is what it is. It's like the special effects of the time kind of thing. But everything else, being immersed in that world, and that was the thing that I just thought, you know, when she's looking at his car, I was just like, oh, fuck off. That is so shit.
Yeah, it is. It's just like, you know, you're supposed to believe he's packing or whatever. It was just weird. And I think the problem is then Murphy comes and that bit when he basically puts them to task, he takes one of the gang out, then there's a bit of a shootout, and then they get the better of him. Now, most of the time in any movie, Dave, you get that he's about to be killed, and then Lewis would come and save the day, wouldn't you? Murphy would break free. There'd be he might get shot, but he'd get free, and I'm going to come and get you. But oh, no. Like you say, fucking Bodega, whatever he's called, is amazing. Yeah. And he just fucking starts laughing and goes, well, enough of that. Bang. Now, Murphy takes about 20 shots here, Dave. Proper shotgun, bullets, his arms coming off, everything. One to the head, and he's still alive. And I'm like, look, the guy at the start took over 100 bullets. I can take, he's dead. There's no way Murphy's fucking alive either. And it's just, that is, even as a kid, I was like, that is ridiculous. Absolutely. He shoots him point blank in the head, don't he? And it's like,
I think people have survived, haven't they, though, from like gunshots to the head. It depends which part of the brain does it take out. But I agree, the way it's shot, I mean, that is normally curtains, isn't it? And I'd forgotten they'd shot him in the head, to be honest. The thing I remember, Chris, the most vividly out of everything is the fucking hand.
Yes.
Not even like the arm comes off later, doesn't it? But it's just, it's the tension, the way fucking Clarence is going, because he's got the gun pointed at his head. And then he's like, did, you know, and he's following it down his arm and then shoots his hand off and it just fucking explodes. And you're like, Jesus Christ, the effects on that. Like I said about the stop motion animation not being, you know, not standing up very well, but a lot of the practical effects, I think, do stand up well. I think just before he gets shot in the head, you can see he's like this Terminator-like prosthetic, isn't it? It's this rubber face kind of thing, so he can take the bullet. But a lot of this torturous fucking shooting it is really, really well done and still, like, really fucking hard to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you, Dave. I absolutely forgot, like, the way it's shot and Murphy's there. You know, Lewis is with him and it's just gruesome and completely a different... I think that's probably why it was a success, because it was just not the normal format for a movie, was it? It was just like, we're taking the actual hero out at the start. And that's, you know, we've got that, you know, because of what Dick Jones's ED-209 had done, and then you've got Bob Morton's RoboCop race, like, we need a willing, you know, participant, and this is the participant, it's Murphy. And that whole thing when he becomes RoboCop, though, Dave, I think that still holds up, you know. Even now, I think it all holds up when he turns into RoboCop, and that sort of in awe when RoboCop stands up for the first time, you're still there like, holy shit, because... It fascinated me with the prosthetics of his face, because he always used to go, have they shaved his head here? How have they done it? Obviously, they've packed out his forehead and he's got the full outfit on, but I always wanted to see how they made him into RoboCop, like a behind the... I'm sure these videos on like behind-the-scenes stuff, but I always thought the effects for like RoboCop were really good.
I agree. I still think it looks really good now, the whole suit and everything. The one thing that hit me, when you're getting... like getting his perspective when they're kind of building him and stuff, and the camera comes on and what have you, and then they're having the conversation about, well, we could keep his other arm, like his left arm, and then you've got Bob Morton there. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, we need to have a robotic arm, you know, so get rid of the arm. And you're like, fucking hell, talk about just dehumanizing this guy. He's been fucking slaughtered on the first day of the job. I don't know if he signed his fucking donor card or whatever. He's ended up in this situation and he's got no fucking will, no say in this whatsoever. And you'd think, well, surely if he had a choice, he'd want to keep as much of him as he could possibly keep hold of. But as far as OCP are concerned... no, he's now their asset. He's their property to do what they want with. And so, again, it's one of those things, I don't remember that from a kid, from being a kid, but, you know, it really hit me this time, and it kind of, you know, really hit home how sinister, I guess, these corporate shithouses were.
Yeah, yeah, because even though it's like... when he goes on patrol, and well, first of all, he's in the firing range, and then all the police are just like, what? When he first comes in, sorry, they're all like, what the fuck? It's like Darth Vader's just walked into it in like, yeah, Star Wars, yeah. And you see like all the Empire, like, holy shit, it's Darth Vader. Everyone's just like, what the fuck is that? And this monster comes in. I always used to hate, though, the fact that baby food was the things he used to feed him, Dave. I don't know what that was, just a design choice in the movie. It never sat well with me at all, that. But when he's doing the firing range and he's got that like fucking rapid fire gun,
that
brilliant.
Gun is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ace. As a kid, that was the gun you always wanted, RoboCop's gun, Dave. I remember having arguments with people, mate, going, Dirty Harry's guns and Magnum 44, and going, fucking RoboCop's in Kane. Exactly, yeah. RoboCop's is the gun, you know, like, but... amazing, Dave. And when he goes on patrol and just starts taking people out, I fucking love it, honestly. That woman, they're trying to bloody sexually attack her, like rape her, and he starts giving her advice, but you need to have, you know, go and see a specialist, well, thing, you know, listen.
Rape counselling.
Rape counselling and all this. Yeah, brilliant. And that Emil, you know, the one who obviously gets melted, I remember him so well, Paul McCrain, because, Dave, I'm sad to admit this, but when I got with Sam, she absolutely loved ER because of George Clooney. Right. It was Doug, whatever he was called in ER. He was one of the main doctors in it as well for years, even after George Clooney left. So I always remember him for this. And when I watched it, I kept thinking when I was like, obviously I was like early 20s going, where the hell do I know that guy from? And then reading an article on him going, he's the guy who gets melted in RoboCop. I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's him. But yeah, he was a bastard in it as well. Just horrible, yeah. Emil. But yeah, brilliant, Dave. Really good.
I think for that scene as well, there are so many great lines in this. And I think the way Weller delivers them is really quite underrated. And just the way he moves. I'm watching this now, and I believe that is a robot. You know, I just think it's really convincing. But, you know, when the guy's like... are egging him on and saying like, you know, we're going to kill the woman or whatever. And he's like, your move, creep. I just think it's fucking brilliant the way it's done. And, you know, you can see that he's got a laser focus as well. So he basically shoots her between her skirt. So it misses her legs, amazing, and whatever, and shoots the guy's cock off, essentially, doesn't it? So, yeah, absolutely unbelievable. But it's when he catches up. What is the ginger guy's name?
Emil. He's got in this called Emil, yeah.
It's when he says to him, isn't it? It's like, dead or alive, you're coming with me. And he's like,
oh, amazing.
I killed you. I mean, I thought that was a bit of a stretch as well, you know. The one cop who says that. I imagine this guy has run into a few cops, and they've given him various sledges. But you know, you suddenly face-to-face with this seeming like cyborg, and you're like, oh, I know you. I killed someone like you. It was a bit of a stretch for me, that bit.
No, I'm with you. How the fuck would you know someone's jaw? Dave, no one can identify fucking Bruce Wayne, so how RoboCop is identified? I do not know. So I'm with you on that. I think, and I tell you what, this movie took a lot of inspiration from Star Wars. I think we were saying before, the C-3PO was the movements of his character was sort of the inspiration for RoboCop, that stiffness of a robot, you know, because obviously Anthony Daniels just couldn't move. Different, I know it's a different chassis, different build and everything, but did you not think when RoboCop, and it's based, because they asked Arnie, would he star in this? But then said he's too big. They couldn't have someone so big because he just said he looked like a fucking... imagine him. We don't need the suit. Exactly. They said that. They said... Because Weller was a marathon runner and everything. So he was training for the New York Marathon when this was on. So he said like he was at his trimmest. He was a fitness fanatic. But they said Arnie was one of them in the running. But did you not think that scene when he goes after that guy in the fucking... discotheque, who looks about 40, David, he's dancing with these young girls. He's very reminiscent of the first Terminator when he goes to get Sarah Connor, you know, and Kyle Reese sort of saves him and that. It just reminded me a little bit. It reminded me of like a bit of a nod to the Terminator, to be honest.
I think, there was more than a little bit of Terminator in this, wasn't there? Even just Detroit and how it looks and everything. It was pretty shitty in the Terminator as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, to be fair. But again, Dave, iconic bits in this movie. It's just so good. When he grabs that guy's hair, I always remember, even now I'm like, holy shit, that must have hurt. And he's like, come with me, you know. And it's just like, takes him out of the fucking nightclub. But again, he's having these, they're supposed to have erased his memory. He's a cyborg, but he's not a cyborg, is he? His memory is intact. And whatever they've done to him, he's like, he's wiring, literally. He's having all these flashbacks about his house and everything. And meeting this gang again is bringing the death. He keeps in this thing with his wife where she's like, I need to speak to you and all that. And you're getting that played over and over. So I just think it works so well. It's like almost like a psychological thriller as well in some respects.
Yeah, I think this is done really well, where, you know, they OCP have tried to strip him of absolutely everything, and he's having this, you know, these flashbacks. His brain is kind of repairing itself, you know, and, you know, he's got these memories and what have you. He's got a little bit Wolverine about him, I guess. But, yeah, I thought that was done really well. And the thing is, at this point, you're thinking, well, you know, he's sort of invincible, isn't he? And, you know, he's taken out all these cops. Like you say, I thought it was quite amusing, that bit in the disco where he's dragging the guy by his hair. And it's just the delivery of the actor, the way he's got his wide mouth and everything. He's like, ah, while he's having his hair dragged along and stuff. But even, like, the local, you know, reporters are interviewing him. He's there with the kids and everything. And he's like, have you got any advice, any messages for the kids at home? And he's just, stay out of trouble. Again, it's just so many great, great lines. And like you say, you're getting these constant cutaways to the adverts of the day kind of thing, and just playing this satirical, poking fun at this dystopian future. I just think it's so fantastic. And you've got the kind of corporate politics as well going on, haven't you? And one bit that I do remember, Chris, because I remember thinking, if I did have ambitions back then, I think I would want to be a corporate douchebag, because old Bob there is having a great time with a couple of ladies, isn't he? And snorting some coke off some boobs.
Yeah. Well, Dave, it's a lifelong dream, to be honest. But yeah, that must admit.
Exactly.
But he'd sort of drops himself in it, because he's slagging off Dick Jones, who's obviously in the toilet doing having a number two. Yeah. And he comes out as a pop at him. He'd already said to his mate that he was basically having a couple of girls over or something of them effect. So he's revealed his location. Next minute, it unravels then, because, like, Dick Jones is a bastard in this anyway. But then you've got Bodigo just burst through his door and just fucking kneecaps him. Fucking shoots him about. He says, makes me laugh though. When he comes in, Dave, right, Bodigo, fucking makes me fucking pissed when he says to the two hookers, he just goes, does he say, like, bitches go or some fucking weird line or something? And they just get up and go, and they're like, can we see you again? And he's fucking about to kneecap him. He's like, I don't think you're going to see
him. Get your money now before.
Yeah. You don't see that leave. That bothered that the biggest criminal in Detroit has just burst through the fucking door with a gun, and you're bothered whether you're going to see Bob again. You're not seeing Bob again. And that's when he starts shooting him. But I always thought Bob isn't really a bad person. He's just a ruthless businessman, isn't he?
Oh, he fucking is a bad person. Like, he was the one who made the call to chop Murphy's other arm off.
Oh, shit, he did. Right, forget that. He's a bastard, Dave. You're right. Sorry. And he did say in the lift to his mate when that guy got killed, he said, what about thing? He's just been killed. And he's like, well, he says something right off the cuff. In fact, I retract that statement, Dave. He's a wanker. So he ends up getting his just desserts as well.
Yeah, but like you say, for me, it just adds to the fact that Clarence is just an absolute fucking ruthless killer. And, you know, after he's basically got an offer, hasn't he? So Bob says to him, you know, I'll double whatever you're getting paid. And he's like, yeah, I'm all right, mate. Because he's getting paid off. He plays the video by Dick Jones, you know. Now, if I'm to be critical, right, why would you create a video which is evidence, if it ever got found, to stick it in to the, you know, your rival who is just about to be murdered? You know, it does seem a little bit of a stretch, but it kind of works for the menace, I guess, and the fact that you've got the grenade, and, you know, Clarence has just left it sort of just out of reach. He's bloody kneecapped him, isn't he? So he can hardly move, but he just thinks he can get it, and it just blows up. Again, I thought this was a brilliant scene.
Yeah, excellent. And again, Dave, iconic. Like, it's very, it all builds the momentum of this world and the seediness, and how obviously Murphy's just in the middle of it as RoboCop. And like, at this point, you know, everyone's like, RoboCop is the man, isn't he? Like you say, he's telling the kids and all that stuff. He takes a sinister turn. Because when he comes to get Dick Jones done, he's got like the evidence. He gets Bodiger and he admits that Jones, he's on his payroll. He's on Jones's payroll when he has a fight with them all. Takes him in.
So you know, great when he exactly. fucking absolutely beats the shit out of Clarence, doesn't he?
Oh, he fucking levers him. And when that's when he goes in the police, they're saying they're ad-libbing it, spits on the desk, the blood and everything. And he's like, I want one phone call. And then when he goes to get Dick Jones, he's like, you can't do anything. You're not allowed to kill an OCP, you know, whatever it is, an executive or whatever, or officer of the law. And he can't. And that's when that ED-209 just fucking said. And you know what reminds you of the animatronic stuff? It just harps back to Star Wars. It reminds me, the way it moves is like them on the chessboard in A New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when Chewie's there playing and it comes with C-3PO and all that.
If Mike Burton was here, he would tell us exactly what that game is called.
Yes, he would, Dave. He would indeed. Mr. Burton, tell us what that is.
Legend.
Like, I had the Millennium Falcon as well with that bloody chessboard.
Yeah, me too.
When I was as a kid. But then also like the, what's it called? The one that was in bloody, fucking terrible. What's it called? It's just been on the bloody Book of Boba Fett. What was that thing? Rancor. It's like that in it moves a bit like that in Return of the Jedi. You know, like, animatronic, the way it moves.
See, I'm thinking even before that, I'm thinking like Jason and the Argonauts or something.
Ah, yes.
Did you ever see those with the skeletons and stuff? That I think you had a lot of stop motion animation. And isn't it funny? Like that stop motion animation didn't change for like 30 years or something.
No.
Jason and the Argonauts was like 60s, wasn't it? And you're looking, they're using this in 87. So it's only with the CG coming along, isn't it, that's kind of changed how everything looks now. And a lot of the CG now, Christ, you can't even tell it's not physical, it's not real. But yeah, I think regardless of the kind of stop motion animation, basically, he's just too powerful for RoboCop, isn't he? You can see the size difference, and he just gets absolutely mullered. And I remember thinking, you know, it's quite smart the way he kind of escaped, you know, on that car park where he's kind of rolling down and dropping. Looks quite painful, you know, but he kind of gets away. And fortunately, it's Anne, isn't it?
Lewis.
His old partner, yeah. So she basically has to rescue him.
Yeah, and because the cops have just started nailing him, aren't they? Because they're under instruction to take him out. They're making it out like he's gone rogue, aren't they, and everything. And I think straight away you've got, like, the riots going. Bodiger and his guys are just, they're out again, aren't they? You know what I mean? I know he's killed a couple of them, RoboCop, but it's all about getting RoboCop. And they've got these massive, fuck-off Rambo guns, aren't they? These massive, like, bazooka-like guns. And we get this... We get this big fight, don't we? And that's where we get the melting scene. That's got to be one of the most famous scenes from the 80s. It's so good. As I remember watching that and, like, at the first time going, holy fucking shit, that is amazing. And it's horrible, isn't it? His fingers, Dave. But again, what effects, again, for 87? That is amazing.
Yeah, it's proper body horror stuff, isn't it? Where he's kind of old Emil there. And again, because he was such a shitbag, you're like, yeah, fuck you. You know, but it's not only is he basically melted, but it's when he gets run over, you know, he just explodes, doesn't he? The whole body. And it's like, it was a very, very satisfying death, that one.
Yeah, it is. And I think with Bodiger as well, Dave, when he kills him, doesn't he? The spike in a fucking throat. Yeah. Oh, mate. And honestly, that they're the sort of things that, as a kid watching, you can understand why it was in it. This is a true 18 movie, isn't it? You've just watched The Batman. We've both just watched it. I wouldn't say, I mean, that's rated as a 15 in the UK, which I think is at an R in America.
I don't think it's quite like for like, and because everything is it's a little bit different there, because even R rated, I believe you can have like younger kids going in, they just have to be escorted
supervised
by
an airman. Yeah. Right, so it might be like a bit like a 12 then or something like ours, but Dave, a 15, right, you know, over here for Batman, there's fuck all in that, the Batman. There's a lot of kids going to miss out on that movie until it comes on streaming services. They want them to get in the cinema.
I think it's pretty violent. I do think
it's violent, but...
It does warrant the age rating.
But when you look at this, two different things for me, I think. I know it's a different movie and stuff, but... And I know it isn't the same rating, you're right, it's an 18, but this is a true 80s 18 movie, and you can understand why you could not go and see this unless you were 18, because it has got everything in it, all the gore, guts, everything. The effects are brilliant, and I love the way the payoff where Robocop comes after Jones and he plays the video, you know, and he's playing all the stuff, and it's like he can't kill him and the fucking old man fires him. I fucking love that bit, Dave. Love that
so
bit.
Good. But, you know, I have to say, what never sat right with me was when you basically got Robocop, when he goes off taking names, and he's taking his visor off. And I think what that's saying, really, is he's kind of getting his humanity back. You know, he's remembered he's Murphy. He's not just this robot that's following orders. But I just think it looks shit.
I do.
Robocop with the visor looks fucking cool as. And just without, he just doesn't. And so I never liked that. I can appreciate what they're trying to do as a storytelling device, but I just didn't like it. And like I say, I mean, you think at one point Clarence is going to get the better of him, don't you? Until he gives him the old spike in the neck. And like you say, when he gets fired, old Jones there, and he blows him away, it's just so fucking satisfying. Because, I mean, essentially, Robocop, or Murphy, has had a fucking shit time of it for the majority of this movie. He had a brief period where he was like the star of the show kind of thing and getting interviewed by reporters and whatever. But, you know, he's just had a shit time of it. And so, yeah, really satisfying end, I thought.
Yeah, and we do get the comedy element because the old man's like, great shooting, what's your name? And he turns around like it's fucking Heidi High or something, goes, Murphy, and just walks off. It ends like that, doesn't it?
Heidi High, hoody ho.
Exactly. On next week's show, is fucking... That is
the end of Predator.
That is Heidi High. You have been watching, and then it comes up with a fucking predator waving, hello, hi.
Fucking all the characters who've been slaughtered, like Billy and everyone's just there with a big cheesy grin. Oh, my word.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, Dave, shall we get into our scores?
Let's go. Well, Chris, I've not seen this. It must be, I reckon it is over 20 years. Now, in my head, it is around 10 years. But if I think 20 years ago was 2002, I'm pretty sure it's over 20 years since I've seen this. And I remember loving it at the time and for the few years after. Absolutely iconic. But I was worried that it just wouldn't stand up very well. How many times have we gone back and it's just not stood up for what we remember? And you go back and it's like, oh, that's a bit shit, or oh, fucking hell, that is really problematic. And you know, there's that one bit that I said about where Anne's basically looking at the guy's cock despite being in fucking peril, that irritated me a bit, but I remember it irritating me even back then. Chris, I thought this was brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, I think this will go back in the rotation. I'll be watching this again before too long. This is a Cloud City for me, Chris. I just really, really enjoyed it. Now, for me, I'm not really into the really violent stuff. I know you are, but for me, when it's violent but realistic, then it just turns my stomach. And especially the way Murphy gets taken out at the start there. I just remember that traumatizing me a bit, you know, hunched over the TV with my finger on the channel button. And so I just thought this was so, so good. And I tell you what, it just absolutely, the time just breezed by. It just went so, so quickly. So, yeah, Clown City for me all day long. How about yourself, Chris?
Well, Dave, I wasn't sure coming into this because I do think that if I'd, you know, we talk about if you've not watched these movies from years ago, and we've both talked about this, you've not got that nostalgic eye, have you? Like, we talked about Hooper last week and you've never really seen it. You know, like you've been aware of it, but never seen it sort of thing. I've absolutely loved it. It's Burt Reynolds. Completely understand the score you gave it. And I've done that with the stuff we've done, the comics emotion. I always hark back to Weird Science, fucking what's he called? Finger the Duck, whatever he's called.
Howard the Duck.
Fucking hell. You know, there's all these like films that have got a cult following, followings. But if you've never seen them, the only one that we've watched with nostalgia going back that I'd never seen and I thoroughly enjoyed was E.T. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that. I wasn't expecting it to stand up or anything, but I loved it. It was a great film and it's one I will definitely watch again. This has got nostalgia. Really, there's a few bits you can pick apart, but I'm with you. I was going to send it to Pleasantville. I can't, Dave. It's got to be Cloud City. I think it's got one of the most iconic VHS covers of the 80s, without a doubt. Wherever you went in this country, if you went, even in other clubs, in Spain, video shops and everything, trying to hunt for English videos, if we stayed somewhere in Spain, we used to stay for like a month on end, RoboCop was always there. It might have had a different name, it was Spanish, whatever, but it always had that iconic thing of him getting out of the car or getting in the car, looking over his shoulder. Absolutely brilliant film, and I think it stands up so well even to this day. And like you say, you know I love this uber violent shit, and it was just a bit of me. Absolute great. And the good thing is, Dave, with me being a massive sci-fi fan unlike yourself, it was just right on my street.
So there we go, another sci-fi classic that goes to Cloud City from you. Oh, my word. That is brilliant. I hadn't even thought of that. But I'm sure you sent the likes of Terminator. You'd have definitely sent Terminator Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Predator, probably. Oh, no, we haven't done Predator on here, have we? We did it on comics. Or you did it with Matt on comics.
Yeah, we haven't done Predator. So that's one in the bag, Dave.
Yeah.
We did Commando. Right. We've done Commando on here, haven't we?
Definitely did Commando, a bit of John Matrix there.
John Matrix, legend. Bernard, fucking brilliant. But anyway, Dave, so it is our amazing Patreon, Mr. Kent Gustafson's pick. So what is he going to ask us to review next time, Dave?
Now, he asked us to review one, and he said, oh, I don't really know if this is up your guys' street. And I said, no, just whatever you pick, we'll go for it. And it's a film I'd never heard of. Pretty sure you'd never heard of as well. And I'm not sure what we're going to make of it. But it is a David Lynch movie, and it's called The Straight Story.
This morning you fall and you can't get off the floor. That's your hips, Alvin. And you're going to have to use a walker now to get around.
No walker. I love a lightning storm.
Me too, Dad. Uncle Al, I had a stroke.
Rose, darling, I'm going to go back on the road. And I've got to make this trip on my own. I've got to go see Lyle. I know you understand.
Alvin, you're going to get blown off the right off the road. That's what I'm afraid.
Mount Zion, Wisconsin?
Why didn't you just take your car?
I don't have a driver's license.
That's 60 more miles of hills.
That's across the Mississippi.
Having a little engine trouble.
You know, I'd be happy to drive you the rest of the way to Mount Zion.
I still want to finish this the way I started. this trip is a hard swallow for my pride. I just hope I'm not too late. You've got two brothers that haven't spoken in 10 years. I want to make peace. I want to sit with him, look up at the stars, like we used to do so long ago. Brothers and brother.
So, Chris, the synopsis here says on IMDb, it says, an old man makes a long journey by lawnmower to mend his relationship with his ill brother. Now, if that doesn't sound up your street, I don't know what does.
Could we make or break for mine and Kent's relationship this one day? I know, what, to be fair, if it's based on a true story, I always go on these rabbit holes of reading up on it, and sometimes when I'm watching the movie, not to ruin the ending, but, you know, just to find out the context of it all. So I'm, if it's something like that, I always give it a chance. Look, Dave, I love chick flicks. I said it on the reality podcast the other day. I watched Marry Me last Saturday. We watched Belfast, which is based on the Troubles in Northern Ireland. My granddad's from Belfast. He's lived in Manchester since he was 16, but they lived in Belfast. I know all about the Troubles. My mum and that grew up over in Ireland when they were kids, even though from Manchester. They used to go and stay there. So I know all the Troubles. Enjoyed it. Great film with Jamie Doran. But Dave, Marry Me came on by accident. We were looking for another film and I fucking loved it. So I have such, even though I love the violent Uber shit and I've just, the nonsense that comes with films like that, like what we've just reviewed, this might be a tearjerker, Dave. If it's based on a true story, I might like it, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. One of the things we've said over the last few months in particular, some of these movies that we've watched have really opened our eyes to some of the things we haven't seen, you know, some of our Patreon picks. So I did see, the other day that we got called out by the Heath Ledger fan page or something?
Yes, I did, Dave, which is good. I thought we were going to get slated, but we didn't, because we both loved the film. I thought we were getting some abuse, but we didn't.
I think it's like Heath Legend or something like that. But when I looked, they've got like fucking thousands and thousands of followers. So 25,000 followers. I've just brought it up here. So yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Excellent. And as always, guys, if you do want to get involved and become a Patreon and subject us with one of your either classics or not so classic movies, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. If you want to contact us on email, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. So today's roll call of honour is Timothy, Alec, Paul, Mark, Carl, Matt, Heath, Dylan, Kent. Thank you, Kent, for next week as well. Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, and Mr. John Hammond. So thank you so much, guys, as always, for all your support, past and present. We appreciate everybody who supports the podcast. We really do. So thank you.
Awesome stuff, Chris. And then we'll be, once we've got that, actually, after that, we've got another classic as well coming up, another Patreon pick. So pretty sure you won't send that one as well. But but anyway, Chris, absolutely brilliant. It's been so good walking down memory lane here. But Chris, how are you going to finish us off today?
You know, I'm sat here, and when I went back to you, I was fucking grinding my teeth going, oh my God, I've just done it. I know he's going to give it back to me. So I just was like, you dick, you walked into that. But anyway, there's plenty of iconic movies out there, but after your story out being on a cruise and some of the movies that were available, shall we say, on this cruise, Dave, there's only one thing that I think you wanted to say, Dave, and that was, I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'll see you next time.
What are you going to say, see you next Tuesday? But anyway, yeah, we'll see you next time.
As well.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's fine.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Run! Oh! Get to the chopper!
What
ring the bell? All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Yeah, enough. You must be crazy or something. I'm crazy. You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're crazy. You're crazy. I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 hours. Oh, I must break you.
Right, well, everybody, to another episode. Let me say that again. Fucking.
Nice to see you. To see you. Nice.
You can't even blame it on the mic, right?